Genesis chapter 35. Let's pray together. Father, we ask for your blessings on your word to our hearts. Help our minds to be attentive, our ears open to your voice. And that which we need to apply, Lord, we will receive and we'll put to work for your glory and honor and praise in our lives, in our marriages, in our families, and in our communities and in the church and across the world. So, Lord, may you bless now. In Jesus' name we pray. And we all said, amen. All right, here we are in Genesis chapter 35. Genesis 35, I just put the simple title, revival. It is the very first revival in the Bible. Revival. Now, I want you to just think of the word revive, first of all. What does revive mean? Well, let's say, God forbid, one of us keels over right here in the sanctuary, right? You got to revive him. You got to revive him. Who knows CPR? No. You know, as a staff, we get trained in CPR, and we have our certificates and all these things. But you're going to get to that individual, start pumping the chest and start reviving. They're going to find out the airways, what's going on, what's happening. We have the paddles and all that stuff that we can bring out and do that and shock you. It's going to be, you know, watch you jump off the floor and all that. But we're going to do all that we can to revive you, right? Now, you may be saying, stop it, I want to go to heaven. But anyway, we'll try to help you right then and there. But that, when the person's revived, they come back to life. And they're breathing, and they're, okay, what's wrong with me, you know? And they're back to life. And so what's happened is there's a spiritual deadness that is taking place with Jacob. Now, God is moving Jacob, but he still has his faltering faith. He still has a lot of fear instead of having faith in God. Usually when we have fear, it's because our faith is in ourselves. We believe in ourselves, or we kind of like have a belief in others. We don't think it can never come true. That's not going to happen. It's not going to work out. Because, you know, our faith is misplaced. And so what God does for us is he's so patient and he's so loving. I want you to know this for all of our lives. He keeps working with us. He never quits. It's like your children. You don't quit on your kids, do you? You never quit on your kids. My kids are much older now. I'm still not going to quit on my kids. Probably till the moment I die, you know, I'm never going to quit on my kids. I want to help them. I want to bless them. I want to guide them. You know, you're always going to be dad. You're always going to be mom. And hopefully your kids will receive. So what has taken place at this point in time? Well, right now, two of his sons, Jacob's sons, as they've moved from Haran down back to meet Esau and so forth, and they've come back to the promised land, and they're there, and there are these tribal groups, and this one particular group, they took one of their sisters, Dinah, and they raped her. Okay, one guy raped her. And then he says, well, I she's so great looking and all that, you know, even during the rape. I want to marry her, so I want your sister. And then they said, okay, if you want my sister, then the brother said, then all you guys, all the men of your city have to get circumcised, as we're circumcised, so we'd all be one. And then we can share. You can share your ladies with us, we'll share our ladies with you, and we'll all be one, share all of our goods, but you got to be circumcised, because that's what we believe in. So the guys go, okay, we'll do that, you know? Because they're looking forward to this this intermingling and all that jazz. So they all get circumcised. I don't know if they call a circumcision party tonight, you know, or something, but they all got circumcised. And it's the third day, and they're really in pain from the circumcision. Well, two brothers come in, brothers of Dinah, they come into the town, and they kill everybody with a sword. All the men with a sword. Wipe them out. The guys can't fight. They're in too much pain. And they take them all out. So let's pick up our story in verse 30. It says here, then Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, who are the brothers that went in and killed folks, you have troubled me by making me obnoxious among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. Since I am few in number, they will gather themselves together against me and kill me. I shall be destroyed, my household and I. But they said, should he treat our sister like a harlot? Now, this is a faith flaw of Jacob, the dad. He should have been fighting for justice for his daughter. But he goes, okay, you guys did this, and now the other tribal groups, if you've been in military over to the Middle East, you know there's tribes all over the place, tribes of people, you know? And so they sit there and say, well, now they're going to attack us. They're going to join forces, Jacob says, and they're going to attack us, And we're not going to be able. So here, he's instead of turning to God in prayer, he starts getting back into this whole fear mold. I'm afraid, I'm afraid. Now, each and every one of us right now today, you may be going through something rather difficult in your life. Maybe in your marriage, maybe in your family, maybe with your kids. I don't know what it might be. Maybe at the workplace. God doesn't want you to be afraid. He wants you to come to him in faith. It may be an illness that you have. Or someone has an illness and you're fearful what's going to happen. God wants you to live by faith in him. Trust in him. Now, here's the key. When we get to verse 1, we're going to see how revival works. Verses 1 to 5. Watch what happens. And here's your key. Here's your three key words. Then God said. Why is that a key word? Because immediately, God has not left Jacob. He didn't say, Jacob, you fearful little wimp, I'm done with you. No, God loves to speak to us. God wants us to know he's with us, and God wants to help us. He will defend us. He will protect us. He will provide for us. He will bless us. Amen? See, this is our God. So God speaks. Now, let me ask you this question. Have you taken the time to listen for God's voice? You're in that situation. You're in that circumstance. It's difficult. It's a trial. You're facing it, and you feel stress, anxiety. You're not sleeping, whatever. Have you taken the time to listen for God to speak to you? Well, Pastor, how do you do that? Well, there's a couple of ways. Number one, the first thing I would recommend is you first get on your knees and pray. The Bible says, take everything to God in prayer. Everything. And when it says everything, it says every little thing to God in prayer. Everything. And then he says, as you do that, then God will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. This is out of the book of Philippians. Take everything to him in prayer. Stop worrying. It literally says, stop worrying even about one little thing and take it to him in prayer. In other words, Lord, this is my situation. This is what's going on. I'm handing it over to you. It's like, I love football, okay? I was a running back at one time. Well, you got to make sure you get the handoff right. That ball comes in and you get your arms like this and you tuck it like this and you grab onto it, you hang onto it. Well, it's time for us to hand that ball off to God. Okay, God, I trust you. You're going to run with this thing and we're going to score a touchdown. Let's go. And so I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow. I'm just going to follow, and we're going to have victory. And God wants to have victory. He wants you to trust in him. Then God said to Jacob, arise, go to Bethel and dwell there, and make an altar there to God, who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother. So what God says to Jacob, he says, I want you to go back to Bethel. Bethel, we know, means house of God. Remember Bethel, when he first got to Bethel, he was running from Esau, and he needed strength. He needed encouragement. He needed to know that God was with him. So he's dozing off there at Bethel, and all of a sudden he saw a ladder from heaven, and angels ascending and descending on this ladder. And he says, this is none other than the house of God. And he says, so God says to him now, go back to Bethel. In other words, go back to your basics. Go back to what you know about me. You know, there's many times in my life where I've gone through tremendous attacks of the enemy, stress moments and so forth. You step out by faith and you're wondering, okay, was that me or was that the Lord that led me in doing what we're doing right now? I've been down in the jungles of Colombia. I've been all over the world. And there's moments in time you get worried, you get fearful. And I found the moment you begin to pray and then you turn to the Word of God, get back to the Bible, back to basics, the basics of the Bible, God will speak. When I had my three heart attacks, my wife knew to do one thing. Number one was pray, and then listen. Listen to the voice of God. And God gave her Psalm 27 and Psalm 91. And in those Psalms, both of them said that, basically spoke to her heart, that I would have long life. In other words, Sue, you're stuck with him. Okay. And I told this to a friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine, and when he visited me in the hospital, he brought me this Bible. It's a study Bible. And he had it engraved by my name, and he had those two psalms engraved on my Bible. And I was so blessed. I told Bernie, I said, Bernie, thank you so much, man. He's a good, good, good friend of mine. In ministry together with Raul Reese, and we had a great time. And you know what? As Sue read those passages of Scripture, she's driving and she's thinking about those Scriptures. She's coming to the hospital to visit me. I had two heart attacks already. The third one I have at midnight that night. And the Lord had just comforted her heart. And she knew everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. I mean, we had a little baby, our little baby girl, Cammy. She was just, I don't know, a few months old. And then Josh was 7 years old. And she's wondering, am I going to be a widow? Or is he going to live? So what do? When we face trials and tribulations, we go to prayer. We open our ears. We go to the Word of God. We go back to Bethel. We go back to the Bible. And we read and we learn. Amen? And some of you may be in that place right now. This is what you need to do as God speaks to you. God said to Jacob, arise, go to Bethel and dwell there and make an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother. And Jacob said to his household, to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you. Purify yourselves and change your garments. Then let us arise and go up to Bethel. And I will make an altar there to God, who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me in the way which I have gone. My God has always been with me. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is there with you in your distress. He will always take care of us. So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods which were in their hands and the earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the terebinth tree which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were all around them, and they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. You see, that which Jacob thought was going to happen would not happen because God was involved in his life, because God spoke to him, and Jacob listened. He listened, and he followed what God said. And so God says, I will put into the hearts of these cities, the Perizzites, and who are the other guys? The Perizzites and the Canaanites, yeah. And he says, I will put terror in their hearts, and they will not want to attack you. This is God's holy protection, if you will, upon his people, just as like he does holy provisions for his people. Miraculously, he just provides. And so there's several steps I want to show you in regards to revival. Real quickly, number one, step number one, revival that gets results. Step number one, God said, do you believe God's word? Do you believe God's word from Genesis to Revelation? I hope and pray you do. I believe it from Genesis to Revelation. There's no contradictions. There's no errors. It is absolutely sound, and it speaks about our Creator. It speaks about our universe, our world, this earth. It speaks about each and every one of our lives. And you know what, folks? Sin has been from the Garden of Eden to all the way to here. Human nature is still the same. And God will speak to us loudly and clearly. And if we listen, he will change our lives for the better. To have great marriages, great families, great communities, a great nation, amen? A light to the world. That's what we're to be. So number one, do we believe God's word? Yes, we do. God said it. I believe it. Number two, step number two in revival. Jacob obeyed and led the people in repentance and revival. What does he say? It says here, he says, let us arise. Oh, he said, and Jacob said to his household, verse 2, and to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. I'm it. I'm the only way. No other religious system, no other God, no Allah, no Buddha, no Hindu gods. There's thousands of them, by the way. None of them are the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Just follow me. Follow me. Yes, Lord, I will. He says, put away your foreign gods. You've picked them up in the foreign lands. Put them away. There's only one true and living God. And he's speaking to me right now. He's taking care of us. He's provided for us. He's blessed us. And also, get those earrings out of your ears. Now, you ladies are wondering, are we not supposed to wear earrings as Christians? No, what they would do is they would make the little gods, they would make little gods and make them into earrings, and they would be wearing them as representing what they believe. You know, a lot of today, you know, sometimes people put earrings in their ears, or they have a necklace that has something on it, what they believe. It could be a satanic, the Star of Satan, you know, whatever. All kinds of stuff. People hang a New Age rock, a crystal around their neck, like, you know, it's going to give me power or good health or something like that. They can put it in their ears. He says, get rid of all this stuff. There's only one true God. And then it says this, or I put next for us, he says, put away the foreign gods and then purify yourselves. Get to the Word of God. The Word of God cleanses you, washes you. And then he says, change your garments. What do you mean change my garments? Well, let me ask you this. How worldly are you? Are you like super worldly, super fleshly, that leads people immorally? I'm not asking you to put on a dress up to your neck and down to your, you know, the bottom of your feet and stay out here. No, but think about worldliness. Change your garments. Change your life so that you're living for the Lord. Don't live like this world. Now, you know, I know when we come out of the world, we become saved, it's like, wow, there's a lot of changes I need to start making. Yeah, the way you talk. Stop your swearing. Stop swearing. Stop talking perverted. Stop it. Change how you are. Stop being so mean. Change your garments, man. You don't want to wear the filthy garments of the world. You want to wear the garments of Christ. The love of God. The goodness of God. The kindness of God. Be kind to one another. Love each other. Help each other. Bless each other. There you go. It's a dog-eat-dog world, right? It's a rat race out there. Hey, whoever has the most toys wins. It's about selfishness and self-satisfaction and self-pleasure. And God says, no, it's all about reaching out, loving one another, and helping each other. And that's the calling of God on our lives. So he says, hey, put away the foreign gods, purify yourselves, change your garments. And then number six, arise and go to Bethel. Go to the house of God. Are you going up or are you going down in your Christian walk? Are you dead in your life with Christ? If so, arise, my friend, arise. Go up to the house of God through prayer and his word, through sanctification and service, through worship and witness. Go to the house of God. Now, you guys are all here, so I'm preaching to the choir. Amen? I'm glad you're here, man. You're like, we need to go to church. We know we need to learn the word of God. We need to be encouraged. We need to be blessed. Sometimes scolded, yes. But we need to change and be more like the Lord. And that's why you're here. I hope that's why you're here. You're here as a disciple of Christ, and I'm trying to be a good teacher of our Lord Jesus Christ for each and every one of you. And so we come to learn, to grow, and to be blessed by the Lord. And God sees that you're here. You know when God sees that you're here, and he sees when you have your own personal devotions at home, and you're praying, he sees, and he says, oh, man, I love my kids. I'm going to bless them today. I'm going to guide them today. I'm going to help them today. But the Bible says your sins will separate you from God. When you're sinning, then God says, I can't do any of that today. And they're really totally living for self. They're living for sin. They're totally not living. They're totally contrary to who I am. And God backs off. But the moment you repent, you say, Lord, I've been doing wrong today. I'm so sorry. I got caught up, and I apologize, and I want to live for you. And then God says, all right, way to go. Way to go. Come on, arise, let's go. God never puts you out of business. He's in the redemption business. He's in the salvation business. He's in the forgiveness business. Amen? He's in the empowering business to change your life. He's a wonderful God. He's awesome. But you have to go to the house of God. Now, let me ask you one last thing. Do you know people that are not going to the house of God today? They're Christians, but you haven't seen them in church for a while. Or they even told you they haven't been going to church. You saw them not just this past week, maybe. Did you tell them, you know, why don't you come to church with me? See, we need to take people to the house of God. Take them to Bethel. But not only will we take them to Bethel, we're going to take them to the God of the house of God. It's time for them to return back to their Heavenly Father. It's time for them to get back to their Lord Jesus Christ. So as I challenge the first service, I'll challenge you with this. If you know of people who are not going to church, to the house of God, then this week, make it a point to text them, to email them, to Instagram them or whatever, you know, Facebook them, and get them to come to church to learn the Word of God. Get them back into the house of God, because we're called to do that. Forsake not the fellowship of ourselves with one another. All right, let's keep reading. So he says, arise. Step number 7, always remember what God has done for you. God answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me in the way which I have gone. I've talked about that, so go back to the Bible and go back to your past experiences with God, how he took care of you, how he blessed you, how he encouraged you, how he provided for you and fought for you and so forth. And then step number 8, look at the results. People returned to the Lord and their enemies were afraid of them. God's protection was provided. See, this is powerful. This is powerful. You know this fight with the state government right now? This is God's fight. It's not my fight. See, they don't know it, but they're fighting against God. Because you know what? We're going to pray. And we're going to call. We're going to take action. Seek, knock, and the door shall be open, right? Ask, seek, and knock. And we're going to pray. We're going to seek. We're going to knock on these doors. We're going to talk to these people. I mean, you know what I want the most for these folks in the state government? I want them to get them saved. I want them to go to heaven. I know that they, many of them, not all of them, but many of them are just as deceived as I was before I came to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And thank God somebody came to me and shared the gospel with me and led me to Christ. That's my heart, my greatest heart's desire. And also, hey, guys, let's make good laws, not these bad laws. But anyway, ever onwards, go to verse 6 and 7. So Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan, he and all the people who were with him. And he built an altar there, and he called the place El Bethel. So he builds this altar at Bethel, and he calls it El Bethel, which is the God of the house of God. Very important. You can come to this church, but not have God. So when you come to this church, you need to have God in your life. He needs to be number one. You're no longer God of your life, but God is the God of your life. We've come to worship God. We've come to honor God. We've come to learn from God. And he teaches us through his holy scriptures. We love to worship God, amen? We get together and they come up and they sing and they lead us in worship. And we raise our hands and we praise the Lord. It's a beautiful thing, right? Now, some don't raise their hands because like they're like, I don't want to do that. That's too much. That's just, you know, beyond. And some are saying, I'd like to do it, but I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't do it, you know, and I mean, if the song is appropriate for that, right? I mean, especially if the song's saying, I raise my hands to the Lord, and everybody's like, we should all be raising our hands to the Lord, right? And we should be singing to the Lord. I know when I first got saved, I was like, I don't know about the singing stuff, you know? I don't sing that good, you know? I kind of like, I ain't got no rhythm, and you know, I don't know the words, and but you know what? As I continued to go to church, and the songs were being sung, and I started listening and learning. And all of a sudden, like, I want to sing. I want to worship God. I want to praise the Lord. And then to raise my hands, hey, yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad. Just get to stretch during church. It's cool. And raise your hands to the Lord in worship and honor. Now, if you want to dance, you know, from side to side, we'll have to slow you down, okay? We'll just find that. Okay, hold on. But you have to sit in the back. But, you know, I can't get too crazy. Bring attention to yourself instead of attention to God. Amen? So it's important. But you know, it's a good thing. So we come to the house of God to worship God, to know God, to learn from God. And that comes through Jesus. Now, he names that altar El Bethel, God of the house of God. Because what's happening to him right now? What's happening to him? A personal relationship is taking place. God is becoming his top priority instead of himself. Oh, he wants the benefits of God. But now it's going to become no, God, whatever you have, I will follow, I will do. He will consecrate himself to God. Watch what happens. He calls it El Bethel because there God appeared to him when he fled from the face of his brother. Now Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died. Rebekah was his mom, married to Isaac, and this nurse that was faithful to her, she passed away. And she was buried below Bethel under the terebinth tree, which is known as an oak of, well, I'll keep reading. So the name of it was called Alon Bakuth, and that means the oak of weeping because they loved her very much, and they're feeling that grief. And then verse 9, then God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said to Jacob, your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name. So he called his name Israel, to be governed by God, to be ruled by God. Yes. You see, that's what we all need to have in our lives. Jesus said, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. If you live in me and I live in you, then you will ask what you desire and it shall be done unto thee, for you. And this is where sometimes people don't get the full blessings of God. They just have a superficial relationship with him. And just enough, okay, I just want to go to heaven. That's all I want. But, you know, getting any deeper, I don't think so. No, get deeper. Consecrate your life to him. Remember, we saw the revival. We saw the repentance. We saw the change of heart. His life has been touched. He now is touching other people's lives because he's a follower of God. He wants to tell people about God's salvation. He wants people to turn from unrighteousness to righteousness. You see? That's what we do as Christians. Now that we're saved, we want to tell about Jesus and get him out of sin and into the Savior. So we find verse 9, then God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said to him, your name is no longer Jacob, it's going to be Israel. Verse 11, also God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall proceed from you, and kings shall come from your body. The land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, I give to you and to your descendants after you. I give this land. Then God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. So God speaks to him and reaffirms his promises with that he made with Abraham, that he made with Isaac, and now he's reaffirming them with Jacob, who's now called Israel, because Jacob has made a decision, I will consecrate my life to you. I will live for you totally and fully. Now, he's still going to be a regular guy. He's going to make mistakes, but his emphasis has changed in his life. And then it says here, he says, be fruitful and multiply. You and I are to be fruitful and multiply. What does it mean? Well, to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit is to shine forth God's love, God's goodness, God's patience, God's grace, God's mercies, God's peace in our marriages, in our families, in the workplace, in the marketplace, and throughout the whole world. And when people see you, they're going to say, there's something about you I like. And you start telling about Jesus. They may get turned off a little bit, but you know what? They're going to say, but they've radically changed. They used to be so mean-spirited. They used to be so condescending. They used to be so critical. I didn't even want to be around them anymore. But now they're saying nice things to me. They're encouraging me. They're complimenting me. They're helping me. Can I pray for you? They asked me if they could pray for me. What's with that person, that woman, that man? What's happened to them? What's happened to you? I became a Christian. What? I became a Christian. And God has radically changed my life. I'm not perfect, but he's changing me day by day. Amen? See, the guy that led me to Christ was a recon Marine from the Vietnam era. He was one mean sucker. He used to make up his own karate moves and go to bars over the weekends and beat people up. That was fun for him. He was vicious. And he'd come and tell, you know, we were just working at the same grocery store. He'd tell us, we were just little box boys, you know, young guys, teenagers. He'd tell us his stories about beating up people. Then he got transferred. We hadn't seen him for 2 years. And we went to his house because we heard he was a Christian now. And I'm telling you, when we looked at his face, it was a different Cliff Chapman than we'd ever seen before. Big grin on his face. What do you guys want? I want to talk to you about God. You know, and okay, come on in. 3 hours he spent with us, with his wife, talking about God, and led me to Christ. My friend later on gave his heart to Christ about a week later. Because he changed. And we had heard about his change. See, this is a man who's gone from Jacob to Israel to be governed by God. He is fruitful. And he's going to multiply. And God wants the same for us. Let's finish up this chapter. Don't worry, I'm not going to do chapter 36. So we find ourselves, then it says in verse 12, he says, the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, I give to you and to your descendants after you. I give this land. Then God went up from him in the place where he had talked with him. So Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering on it, and he poured oil on it. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spoke with him, Bethel, the house of God. Why did he pour these two things, water on it and then oil, put oil on this pillar? The pillar was a memorial. God spoke to me here once again, okay? And he pours water on it. Why water? A drink offering. Well, because when you receive from God, he fills you from the inside, and he will then flow out of you. Jesus said this at the great feast, and he says, and you shall receive torrents of living water, and you will be filled, and it will be gushing out of you once again. And then John put the addendum with that. He says, and thus he was talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, have you prayed and asked God to fill you with torrents of living water? You have not because you what? You ask not. You have to ask God. Say, God, today I want to be filled with that living water. I want to bring life to people. I want to bring cleansing to people. I want to bring hope into people's lives. Fill me with living water. And they anointed that pillar with oil. Oil is always symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, I need the power of your Holy Spirit today. At work, you know, with the family, whatever it might be. I need your power, Lord. I need to be strengthened. And he'll give you the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. And then he says this. Then the Bible says this. Then they journeyed from Bethel, and when there was but a little distance to go to Ephrath, Rachel labored in childbirth. His wife labored in childbirth, and she had hard labor. Now it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said to her, do not fear, you will have this son also. And so it was, as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Ben-Oni. But his father called him Benjamin. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. That is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar on her grave, which is the pillar of Rachel's grave to this day. Then Israel journeyed and pitched his tent beyond the tower of Eder. And it happened when Israel dwelt in that land that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard about it. He shouldn't have done that, obviously. But let's get back to Rachel real quick. She called him Ben-Oni, which means son of my suffering or son of pain. And of course, she's dying, right, because of what's happening. And then Israel comes, Jacob comes and says, no, his name is Benjamin, son of my right hand. Can you imagine if you had that Ben-Oni for the rest of your life? You're just a son of pain. No, you're the son of my right hand. Because he knew that Benjamin would grow up, and as he got older, he was the last one to be born to him, and that he would be there for him. You see? You're the son of my right hand. Now, it is also interesting, real quickly, in Luke's gospel, when Simeon blessed them, he said to Mary and Joseph, his mother, he said, behold, this child, speaking of Jesus, is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which he will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And yet, when we looked at the aspect of Benjamin, we know in Matthew 22, 43 to 44, it says, Jesus said to them, how then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. So in a sense, Benjamin was like a type of Christ to be born in Bethlehem. And we also know that in Bethlehem, that they killed all the little babies under 2 years old. King Herod did. And this is a place of weeping. It's a place of pain. Bethlehem became that as the Christ child was born in Bethlehem and experienced the two ways of Ben-Oni as well as Benjamin. So let's finish. Verse 23. Now the sons of Jacob were 12. The sons of Leah were Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun. The sons of Rachel were Joseph and Benjamin. The sons of Bilhah, Rachel's maidservant, was Dan and Naphtali. And the sons of Zilpah, Leah's maidservant, were Gad and Asher. These were the sons of Jacob who were born to him in Padan Aram. Then Jacob came to his father Isaac at Mamre, or Kirjath Arba, that is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac had dwelt. Now the days of Isaac were 180 years. So Isaac breathed his last, that is Jacob's dad, Isaac, and Esau's dad, breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people, being old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. So here we find this lifespan. Now, Isaac actually thought he was going to die years ago because his vision was going, his hearing was going, and he thought he was going to die. He gave the birthright to Jacob instead of Esau, and then Jacob runs for his life, and then 43 years later, he finally dies. You know, sometimes we think things that are not true. We need to always trust God. You know that God knows the very day you're going to die? The Bible says your days are literally numbered. So don't worry about dying. When that day comes, you're gone. But better yet, you're in heaven. Amen. Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow, what it's going to bring. Don't worry about it. He says, look, God knows the sparrows that fall to the ground. He knows the number of hairs on your head. In fact, they're all numbered. This morning when you brushed your hair, you lost 1,152,636th hair. It just came right out. There you go. You see, God knows all things. But what does he tell us? What does he teach us? And here's the key. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. Seek El Bethel, the God of the house of God. Seek him. And then his righteousness. Always do what is right. And God will bless you and provide for you and protect you. Let's stand and pray. Father, we come to you as we look to this beautiful revival, the first one of the Bible. We pray that we each would have that revival within our own hearts and souls. That our name would be changed from from Jacob to Israel, in a sense. Where Jacob was a compromiser, he was a fearful man. But then Israel, he's become this man of faith. To trust in the God of Israel, to trust in you, to know that you are God. And then to consecrate himself to you. And then to watch you work in and through his life. May we do the same, God. May we do the same. Now, as everybody has their head bowed and we're all in a spirit of prayer, the eyes are closed. Do you need revival right now? If you need revival right now, then nobody looking around. Raise your hand up. I'm raising my hand up because I want to be revived every day. Dear Heavenly Father, our hands are raised to you because we want you to grab our hands. We want you to hold us. We want you to lead us. We want you to show us the way, to protect us and provide for us. And we want to be committed to you, Lord. We're never going to let go of your hand. And Jesus, we want you to empower us by your Holy Spirit. We want to be fruitful. We want to multiply, God. We want you to change our attitudes and our hearts, our way of living, our way of thinking, our way of speaking. We want you to make us bold, speaking the truth in love. So, Lord, may you anoint us with the oil of the Holy Spirit. May you fill us with the outpouring of living water that's found in Jesus Christ. May people come and drink of the beauty of the Lord. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We repent of our sins. We ask that you change us day by day as we commit our hearts to you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen.